Good afternoon. Well, I have a suspicion that pretty much anything I say on this topic could be potentially controversial. So we'll be talking about strange weather patterns in the Willamette Valley for the next 10. So teaching and dating. One thing is for certain when I was teaching, and that is that I was not going to be a statistic. And I've heard, you know, teachers, married co-teachers, this does happen in real life, not always. But not this teacher. But a few years went along, and guess what? She started teaching with me. I was there first. And clearly wasn't my fault, but I'm a very happy statistic. So I wasn't quite sure when I looked at this if this had to do with co-teachers dating or had to do with just dating while you're teaching. I presume more of the latter, maybe, but it would include both. I'll say just a bit about co-teachers. And it's probably a sensitive, controversial issue. And I don't think there's probably a one-size-fits-all, right-or-wrong deal. But here's some things to think about. Is it just a few weeks of the year? Maybe tail end of the year? Is it the entire year plus? That can make a difference. Does the school have two teachers and now it's boyfriend-girlfriend teaching? Does it have poor third person, be it fifth wheel or third or wheel, whichever one that is? Are there 10 teachers that all have a good back-and-forth relationship? Those things make a difference. Another thing to keep in mind is that sometimes, I believe this is an accurate statement, sometimes the clearest thinkers in a dating situation are not necessarily the ones dating. Could be. On the other hand, sometimes the ones not dating can be over-helpful. Reactionary and over-reactionary, and so forth. Those are some things to keep in mind. I would have a hard time recommending co-teachers to date for any length of time. Sometimes, maybe for, doesn't sound right in the situation, but logistical reasons maybe. For example, if you could never date while you are teaching, but you both kept teaching, then there's no end to a cycle like that, right? You want to teach, she wants to teach, and just kind of keep going, right? How would you break that? But if you are involved, or if you are dating your co-teacher, you should have some pretty specific guidelines ahead of time. Perhaps you'll even want to ask for some outside input. But one thing is for certain, you will receive outside input. During school hours, keep your focus on school. Before and after school, while you're at school, keep your focus on school. Depending there again, amount of teachers, whatever, have regular teacher meetings, interaction. But you should limit, if not eliminate, dating at school at any time. Now, full confession here, at least partial. When I was teaching with Sarah, and got to thinking about this perpetual agreeing to teach situation, and it looked like it could be a very long and vicious cycle. And whether it was the right thing or not to do, we did begin dating towards the end of the school year. So I did, in fact, date my co-teacher for about 6 or 7 weeks at the end of the year. There were about 6 or 7 teachers, I think, that year. Not only was my girlfriend's dad, he was also the chairman of the board. And so I got a fair amount of input from various aspects. And as a result, Sarah did decide not to teach the next year. And during that time frame, though, we decided, and there again, perhaps there was some outside influence, don't remember, that maybe once a week, you know, we could go on a walk after school or something. Keep school, school. And I think it worked. It was a limited time frame. Now, what about just teaching and dating? Can, you know, just the focus and the... Well, I'm not a good one to ask, right? I not only did I date while I was teaching, I dated a co-teacher, and I got married in the middle of a school year. Not the middle. It was spring break. So... I had one experienced teacher, and he may or may not be here, and it may or may not be partially his fault I'm doing this, and he is, may or may not be my brother-in-law, said that I was crazy for getting married during school, and he may have been right, but I quickly took the opportunity to hire him to substitute while I was gone on my honeymoon. So, but here's some things to think about. Hey, you're crazy too, yeah. Keep your focus on school while you're at school. Again, certainly during school. Do not date during school, whatever the case. But for everybody else to think about, at least from my perspective, we like long-term teachers, we like career teachers. We like young people to get married, families. In some cases, it's very good to have a married person teaching. Add some stability, some value there. Therefore, we should probably not be surprised or disturbed if we have teachers that are dating. If we indeed want career teachers, dating and teaching will have to be possible. Unless we just like squeeze everything into summer vacation. So we should, in appropriate ways, help and encourage them in that. Now, how does this affect the students? I don't know. There's probably a few people you could ask here, but I didn't ask them. Not the ones that are here, I don't think. I did ask a couple. It could have a negative impact, I believe, but I strongly believe it does not have to. So I got to thinking. So I asked one of my former students that graduated the year I began teaching, began dating while I was teaching, and I asked how traumatic that experience was for him. He said, not at all. He pretty much had forgotten that happened in that school year. So I asked another one that graduated the year we got married. And I said, how traumatic was it to have a dating teacher? And she looked at me and she said, you weren't dating when you taught me, were you? So... which most of the time that I had a couple more years and I was married most of the time, majority of the time. But either I must be getting old if those memories are that hazy, or else it wasn't too traumatic, or else most of the trauma must be long-term memory loss. But
right, teaching and boarding. I have had the benefit of staying several different places throughout the years I've taught. Stayed with 3 different families, one of them being my own family. So I guess that's just kind of living normal life. But staying at several different families, and I put together some observations about some things that I believe we should do as teachers if we're staying with a family. Now, this is going to vary to a certain extent depending on how the situation is. If you're staying in their house where you have your own room, that's going to be different than if you're in a trailer that's pulled up to their house. So this is coming from a perspective of someone who lived in the same house with two families for those 3 years. So before I start going down over this list, I would just venture to guess and say that if you're a young person at home, you're probably going to want to follow similar guidelines. And so if you are a young person in good standing with your parents, you'll probably do fine boarding with another family. Because a number of these are things you would hopefully do for your mom and your dad when you're at home. And they're not necessarily in order of importance. They're in the order that I thought of them. So the first one, if I was going to put them in order of importance, I would maybe say this one might be about the most important. Remember that, so number one, remember you are in their house. You follow their rules, as it were. The best way to show respect and honor to the people who are giving you a place to stay is to learn how things run in their house and then conform to it. Don't expect them to conform to you. Number two, keep them informed about your schedule. I don't know how your mom is, but my mom always wants to know about my schedule. That's a good thing. But the people you're staying at want to know, too. Whether it's a youth activity, whether they're expecting you at supper for a certain time, whether they're expecting you at a certain time for supper, sorry about the English there, by a certain time, let them know if you're going to be delayed. Let them know if something's going to cause them to wonder where you are. And I did have a situation where the first year, I think it was the first year I taught, where I was out quite late with some youth, and finally it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, one of them texted me wondering where I was. It was a Friday night. Number three, if the family you are boarding with has children, then be a good role model that the children can learn from. I observed this firsthand last year, and I'm going to tell a story on myself. So, like I said, it happened last year with the family I was boarding with. It was almost lunchtime. I want to think it was maybe a Sunday lunch or something like that, and I was hungry and wanting for just a little morsel to dampen that howling in my stomach, as it were, and there was this little piece that nobody was going to miss, so I took it and ate it. I don't think the mom saw me, but one of the children did. And I don't know if it was that same meal, but they duplicated the process at some point. And the mom was rather sternly told them, that's not something you should do. Now, I don't remember that the little girl said anything after that, but I could very well imagine her little mind thinking, well, if that's not something we should do, then why did Austin just do it? And more importantly, we will leave a spiritual impact on those children. Don't fail in leaving a good one. And right on the heels of that, and I found this one right here, I think is very, very incredibly important, but be active in their church. You may feel like an outsider to begin with, but be active in the church. Don't let school get between you and Sunday evening or prayer meeting. One thing that I learned last year specifically is that we can sometimes get caught up in thinking and justifying doing schoolwork over going to prayer meeting because we're doing something good. We have to be prepared for the next day, right? Well, yeah, we do. But if you want to pass on, not only to the children of the people you're staying at, but to your students, if you want to pass on a reverence and an honor for God, they have to see you at church whenever there's church, if at all possible. Now, there may be some times where it just will not work, but as much as lieth within you, make it to church when there's church. Number five, be willing to let them hold you accountable. This one was a little bit weird, awkward maybe a little bit when the first I started learning it. But remember, you don't have your parents with you. They're your parents while you're there. And if you are willing to let them, and if they're willing to do that, it'll bless you and them. Number six and seven kind of go hand in hand, but number six, be willing to help around the house if the need arises. Do dishes, do laundry, clean. Number seven, don't let yourself become a burden, especially for the guys. it's really, really nice when the people you're boarding with do your laundry, cleaning, dishes, whatever it might be. But if you can help out in some way, by all means, do that. It'll be a huge blessing to the mom of the family. And the years that I stayed with somebody, I always had somebody doing those things for me. Now, last year, the laundry was supposed to be done on Mondays and Fridays. Well, there were several times throughout the course of the year, for some reason, I don't know why this happened. I mean, I don't think other teachers struggle with this, but I forgot to put my laundry upstairs. I mean, I don't think any of you else struggle with forgetting things, but I did. And when that would happen, I would always remember, like, when I got to school, that I forgot to put my laundry out. And so maybe it was after school was out, I'd suddenly remember, you know what, I did not put that laundry out. So I'd contact her and see if she could, you know, do it the next day or something like that, or I'd ask her. And, you know, if she could, that was great. Sometimes she couldn't, I had to do it myself. So if you make a mistake like that, don't make her go to the extra work to fix your mistake. Be willing to do it yourself. Also, the family that I boarded with last year was gone for about a month over Christmas, and I had the house all to myself. Now, one stipulation that she did make when she left was, this house needs to be clean when I come back. I said, sure. And she gave me 2 days' warning of when they were coming back, because they drove home drove to Virginia to where her family was, and then they drove back out. I had 2 days' warning from what she said, we're going to be there in 2 days. And the next night, I was up late into the wee hours of the night, frantically cleaning, that kind of stuff. But she was impressed. She complimented me when she got back on how clean things were. Number eight, this one's a little bit dependent on the stage of a family to a certain extent. The first 2 years I boarded with somebody, they were in the stage of grandparents. There was only one of their children that was still at home, and they obviously didn't have any young children there at home. So it was a little bit different than last year, where the oldest child was 6 years old. But remember that they're a family. Let them have time and space to be a family. It's okay to spend time with them, but give them the time to spend as a family. Give them time for devotions in the evening. Be willing to go to your room at, you know, 8:30, something like that, and just give them some time in the evening. They will appreciate it. I don't know if you will necessarily, but they will. And I speak a little bit from experience here, listening to her, having heard my mom talk a little bit about some of our experiences in Poland with some of the VSs there, and some of the ways that they didn't always do that, and how it was frustrating. And so I'm guessing that if you're boarding with a family, it could be frustrating for them too, if you're always there in the evenings and they don't have time to do family activities. Now, maybe they'll invite you to join in. If they do, then by all means do. Join in ways that you can. And then the last one that I have written down here is, show your appreciation for them and the sacrifices they are making for boarding you. And the appreciation can be in little things, but remember that they didn't have to open their house to you. They did it out of the generosity of their hearts. And it's something that we should say thank you for. Be willing to do all these other things, respect, honor, whatever it might be, that to them, so that they can feel your appreciation. Because I do believe that boarding with a family is a good thing. It forces you to do some things you might not have to do at home. It's a good thing. And like I said, these 9 things that I wrote down are just my opinion. And maybe there are people here who have had more experience with it. But that's, I guess, for you to find out, as it were. So remember, it can be a blessing, as long as you're willing to do your part.
On teaching and socializing, I can verify that as a teacher, you need to socialize or you will blow a fuse. Children do too many cute things, too many bizarre things, too many funny things to just keep it. You have to socialize. And so naturally, the first people we socialize with after school are our co-teachers. I've logged quite a few hours in socializing with co-teachers. In socializing, the first thing I think about is the words that we say. A verse that was brought to our attention this morning is that one that says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." That's just something, a principle to keep in mind in all of our socializing. I'd like to just give a few basic guidelines for socializing with co-teachers. As I asked lots of you questions this week, one of the things that I learned is that you come from so many different situations. If you're teaching in your home community, the socializing you get at school might not be that big a deal. If you hardly know anyone where you're going to be teaching this year, a lot of your socializing will want to happen at school. Here's a guideline. Visit long enough so that you can feel good about it later. I'm talking about the next day or even 20 years from now as you think back on those first years of teaching school. That could be later. Are you going to look back and think, oh, I wasted so much time? Or maybe later you think back and say, that conversation yesterday kind of degenerated into criticism and places we didn't want to go. Or maybe, you know, you'll think back and say, oh, I should have stayed there a little longer and talked to my co-teacher about the program that's heavy on her mind and I'm not thinking about it yet. So visit long enough that you can feel good about it later. One of the things, one caution that I have about just, I call it hanging out at school, is the image or the witness that it portrays. Just since we're here in Oregon, let me use Smith seat over here for an example. But if after all the other workers went home, there were four singles who stayed in the office and got the coffee out and started socializing. Oh, occasionally they would do a little bit of work. But you go by there at 7 o'clock in the evening, they're still there. 8 o'clock in the evening, it's not unusual to see them still there. After a while, whoever's boss over there would say, wait a minute. But we think because we're school teachers, they can't touch us because we've got a pretty important job here. And so I encourage you to just think about the image it portrays. The other thing, just this morning I was reading where it talks about being partakers of the divine nature there in 2 Peter. And it says, add to your faith virtue and virtue knowledge. And what are we supposed to add after that? Temperance. Do you know what temperance is for teachers too? And not just in socializing. The other encouragement that I have for us is visit about things that I can feel good about later. As I think back over our conversation, can I feel good about it? Brother Jonathan said in one of the talks that he had yesterday that someone forced him to analyze my own observations. So I remember one time the mother of one of my co-teachers came to visit. We were making observations, believe me. She was listening to us. And she said, so what are you doing about it? Well, we grexed around. And, well, what should you be doing about it? We told her what we should be. Well, then do it. let's try to do more than just talk. We need that communicating. We need to talk about what happens on the playground. We need to talk about how we're going to handle this. We need to talk about whether it's okay for you to tell my students they may not do something or for me to tell your students that they may not do something. We need to talk about those things and decide how we're going to handle that. But we need to be careful how we talk about those things. Sometimes we just need to say sorry for what I said yesterday afternoon. I think it would be a good, that coffee cup that you use after school, it should have Philippians 4:8 on it. Whatsoever things are pure and honest and of good report. Think on these things, talk about those things. We have to talk about problems too. This next one kind of goes with that. No gripe sessions. And now I'm going to talk to the men. Now, if you aren't a man over here, you don't have to listen. But if you're a man, you listen up. When the session gets to be a gripe session, say, let's pray about this. And you know, I haven't found a quicker way or a more effective way to shut down a gripe session. And after all, why not do something about it? Pray about it. Now, ladies, if they forget, you say, let's pray about this. But well, that's one of the blessings. I had a co-teacher that inspired me in that and blessed us and probably kept us from going down a lot of wrong roads. Let's pray about this. Consider your co-teachers as you're socializing. One sister told me, my co-teacher can score and visit at the same time. I can't. So after a while, she closes her books and she goes home and I'm staying there scoring. Along with considering your co-teachers, maybe this is especially for the sisters, and especially if you have another teacher that's a married man like I am. If you see me, Danielle, are you taking notes? If you see me with my briefcase and my lunch bag and I'm headed toward the door and you have something you want to say, don't hint. I just don't get it. And Miss Cassie will verify this. If don't say, huh, these copies are getting kind of light. Just say, could you please put new ink in the copy machine before you go because I have a bunch of copies to make before morning. I understand that. Now, brothers, give them time to say what needs to be said. And understand that sometimes they don't necessarily want you to do something. Sometimes talking fixes things. Even for us, it does that. We'll admit that. The other thing that I encourage is number 5, maintain diligent work habits. Just because the students have gone home now doesn't mean that for the next 5 hours I can entertain myself electronically and with you and doing all kinds of other things. Still, we want our students to be diligent. So let's us maintain diligent work habits. I think a good goal for us is to be at our boarding place for supper, at least if that's the arrangement. Try to be on time for that. The other thing is maintain a proper reserve between the brothers and the sisters that are teaching together. I read recently a verse. Well, this is talking more about entreating, but it says, entreat the younger women like sisters in all purity. I like that. I had a co-teacher one time. When I started talking to her beyond school business, she would just get very intent on scoring penmanship. So, sister, you can help to make so that we don't get unreasonably familiar with each other. I'm happy to report that co-teacher now sometimes thinks that when she wants to talk to me, I'm too interested in other things. But men, if you want to court at school, then do it like a man. Don't get your social and emotional recharging done without the commitment that goes with it. Let me just say that. Socialize outside of school. Here's one reason that this is important. We understand that school teaching is a big responsibility. And for many of us, that's the largest responsibility we've had yet in life. That's our focus, our goal. And if the only people we talk to is the other school teachers, Oh, we can make a huge case. I mean, the children should never come to school late. They should always eat breakfast. They should never be sleepy in school. And this family has this problem because of this. And us teachers, we can figure it out. I was especially good at that before I was married. But if you don't communicate outside of school, you can make a huge case like that. And then by the time you get input from the board or the parents, it's almost too late. Let these words show up in our socializing. Paul said, I notice that your faith grows exceedingly and that your charity towards each other aboundeth. And now let's remember, temperance is for teachers too.